All redeemed clay is the work of God's hand, all of it. But the clay marred itself in God's hands. God didn't mar the clay. The clay marred itself. So he made it again another vessel. Still loved it. And considered it was good of him to make it. He said it was good of him to make it. It is. Overcomers are believers who let God work in them to convert their souls to think the way that is the mind of Christ. Hey, you got to repent all your life. I mean, you got to look at yourself, examine yourself. How are you going to do that? Keep reading the Word of God. When you see something that you hadn't seen in there before and you realize you were wrong, just realize you were wrong and say, thank you, Lord, and mean it. And then you tell people, you know what I taught you about that? I was wrong. And when I first came up here, I did that. And I as you get older and you study it more, you come to the conclusion, you know, I haven't done that in a long time. But it's because God has taught me a lot. You kept talking about God teaching you. And sure, I got a lot of knowledge of the world and things of that nature, but my wisdom is that I teach from, I want God's wisdom. I don't want my wisdom to prevail in whatever it is I'm teaching. He says, overcomers are believers who let God work in them to convert their souls to think the way that is the mind of Christ. Look, I'll never think exactly like Jesus in this life. Because every time something comes along and I discover something new that I thought I had interpreted correctly, I just say, okay. And I just admit it. But I study it, restudy it, and go over and make sure that it wasn't right the first time. This is the plan of God to save their life. They live in the flesh to a full reward in the day that they stand to be judged by Jesus. For the degree of inheritance received. Okay, let's put this in plain, understandable terms. The moment you got saved, you had the full inheritance of God waiting for you in heaven. All of it. Now, why would he then go ahead and tell you about the reward of the inheritance? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it from your saved heart. As unto him and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So once you're saved, how much of it do you want? It all belongs to you. That's true. But why did he put that scripture in there? Because God is going to give you as much of that inheritance as God believes you deserve. That he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. What if you don't get baptized? How can he reward you for something he told you to do and you didn't do it? And how can he reward you and give you the full inheritance if you don't observe the ordinances correctly? And how can he love you if you don't realize that God is a spirit and you have to worship him in spirit and in truth? I mean, you know, you can't just all of a sudden start teaching that you have the full inheritance. You do the moment you're saved. But after that, let's just see how much you're going to do what he said. And the reward of the inheritance is a reward for doing what Jesus did to earn the inheritance. You say, I can't do that. Well, neither can I. Don't you think God knew that and gave the law? Don't you think that's the way I discovered that I'm the chief of sinners? Don't you think that's the way I discovered if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness? You say, well, all unrighteousness? Yes. How long does that last? About that much. And pretty soon, I've goofed up again. And pretty soon, I go back to him. Does that sound familiar? You say, well, he won't keep forgiving you. You underestimate the grace of God. He will. You say, well, do you do that deliberately? No, Lord, I can put up a whale of a fight. I can't, but the Lord can. And sometimes I actually do. And just get away from me, Satan. And that's it. When I was young, I didn't say, get away from me, Satan. I say, come on, let's go. And it's just that way. So I know I have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know it too. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. You've heard that all your life. What about the next part? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. And I trust are also made manifest in your consciences. It's okay to go door to door. It's okay to knock on the doors. It's okay to do that. If you do that, fine. I don't think it's wrong. But don't expect me to go with you. I've learned some things. First of all, now I'm not able to do it anymore. But I came up here and we went to every door in town. And it didn't work. It just didn't work. So, reason I like you so much, Robert, because I can see Christ in you. Reason I like you so much, Barbara, is because I can see Christ in you. As a matter of fact, if I looked every one of you straight in the eye, you know why I love you? It's because he first loved me. But do you know why I like you? I can see Christ in you. Well, look around at him. Can't you see Christ in him? Don't try to figure out how much of him is in there. You're bound to have some of him in there because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. Christianity has been corrupted. And it has come to believe that through our strong efforts in the flesh, we can get more people in church. We sure can. And once we get them in church, Katie, bar the door. It's just that way. But you've got to learn patience. You've got to learn all that stuff. Now, and you've also heard many times this preached in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. All of a sudden, I had a quickening spirit at 12 years of age. I didn't know what a quickening spirit was, but I knew that finally I had asked him to save me, and I understood that he was the only one. And I didn't go through a long theological dissertation. I got saved right there. And I was so excited inside, I couldn't even get it over it. And I've told you the story of my salvation so many times, I ain't going to bore you with that again. Now I learned afterwards, 1 Corinthians 15:38 through 41. And God giveth it a body if it has pleased him to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and one glory of the moon, and another star, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another in glory. Now let's look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So is the conclusion, just like therefore. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Man, I'll be glad when the Lord comes back. Because if I'm still alive, I'm going to be instantly changed. I won't have a carnal nature. I've never known what it was like not to have a carnal nature. And so I didn't understand this right after I got saved. I didn't have any knowledge of it. Where did I learn the truth? In a local church that was one of the Lord's, that still practiced the ordinances, still baptized correctly, still went ahead and taught the ordinances correctly, and taught to love one another. I was there, and they did love one another. And once in a while, we'd get somebody in church, and they'd be rowdy, and all of a sudden, we'd have a big flap, and then all of a sudden, everything would be all right, and I just sat there in amazement. I didn't know what was happening. I was too ignorant to understand it. I just didn't understand it. He says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. Guess what that quickening spirit taught me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the truth. And he taught me that. You say, did he whisper in your ear? No, it's right there in the book. And so I'm not subject to every whim of doctrine. And so I'm sorry if it offended you, but I've run three families off before they ever started joining this church because they were nothing but trouble. And I knew it from experience, and I talked to them, and I found out exactly what they believed, and it was absolute pure heresy. So that's part of my job. I don't relish it. And now my legs are so bad, I can't fend them off. I've talked to people about this, and I swear in my condition, they're liable to jump on me. But the truth's the truth, and I know the Lord will protect me, and I go on. Now, this second page, and whenever Russell, I remember when Russell was growing up, he'd turn a page and he'd say, ta-da! All the saved are born again to overcome by the power of Jesus, the overcomer, by the power of Jesus, the overcomer, to the degree they will let him overcome their way, which determines a reward degree of their inheritance. How much do I want? I'm 83 years old, but I can still get some more. You say, how much more? That's God's judgment. If we get up there and I'm standing there in a petticoat, don't worry about it. It's just exactly what I deserve. But learning why you do the things you do is the way you grow spiritually. And when you ask him for more of his Holy Spirit and go through that dissertation about partaking of things that are harmful, he says, why don't you ask me for some of my spirit? I'll give you that. What is that? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's spiritual growth. And you want more of his spirit because you want to know what he can do. You want to get to know him, that I may know him. And that's so important because you can't do it. And so this is something that I started doing a long time ago, and it has really helped me. They can't overcome until they are saved by a quickening of the last Adam. You're not going to have any more Adams. Jesus was the last Adam, and he was a quickening spirit, and he literally was the Son of God, forming himself in Mary's womb, and he was born of the seed of a woman. It says that he was. It says so in Galatians. He is the seed of man. Now, the seed of the woman was not his personality. It was on Mary's side. But he was born of God. God was his father. You say, well, that's an office. That's okay. Jesus fulfilled that office. You say, well, he was born of the Spirit. Well, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And so here we have someone in all of history who is unique, absolutely unique. He is the Son of Man and the Son of God, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells completely. And that's the one who saved me. I understand a lot more about him than I used to, but the Lord would know I was lying if I told you I knew everything about him. But I know enough. I asked him for years about this. I wanted to know. And he's let me know enough that God knows I'm satisfied. I am satisfied to think that someone like that would love me. Would love me. And to think that the only reason I love him is because he first loved me. I want to serve him. I want to serve him. That's the reason I told you not too long ago. I want to stay here. I want to stay here as long as God will let me. God knows how much I've got left in my mental capacities. God knows I'm deteriorating. But why should I be afraid if all power in heaven and earth is given unto me? I think God will let me know, Tom. You need to let somebody else pastor this church. I think I'll know it. At this time, I don't know it. I'm right here. I want to stay here. God knows it. And here I am. Who is the first and only Son of Man who ever lived that overcame all temptation, living in sinless flesh, for any believing. When a person gets saved, they've got the full inheritance that Jesus purchased with his own blood, and it's reserved for them in heaven. But if you stop there, and you just teach that, what in the world is he going to reward you for? He's going to reward you from the inheritance to the degree that you let him have his way in your heart and in your mind and change you. And if you ever get to the point where you think, I don't need any more change, and you begin to look at all the other people and you think they need change, but you don't. Friend, you've gone too far. And there have been a lot of people that have done that in God's churches. And it's just sad, but you have to face reality. All temptation living in sinless flesh, for any believing he overcame Satan by taking them in his sinless flesh to set us free from God's condemnation. Jesus overcame sin. Now you're going to hell. You haven't been scheduled for hell ever since you got saved. You weren't scheduled for hell before the foundation of the world. Jesus didn't make the choice for you. But Jesus knew the choice you would make, and he operates on that. You say, well, why don't you question God? Who can question God? That's one of the things you learn right quick. Who can question God? Who can instruct God? I learned that, and it's true. And so I just kind of grit my teeth and say, okay, Lord, I know you know what you're doing, and I don't. And I said, whatever happens, I will accept it. And I don't mean, you know, I'm a nice guy and I'm going to accept it. I know I should accept it. But he's the only one that really knows what he's doing. Now, all this other stuff down here you've read. You've also read how he went apart and kept going back. He went back three times and asked the Father, the office of the Father. He was a man. He was the Son of Man. He had a personality. The Son of Man was sinless. God was his Father. God made him. And Jesus was the Father. He fulfilled the office of the Father and the Son. They were all three one. But Jesus did everything according to the rules perfectly. No other man ever did. And for that reason, I'm glad he put this in here. Because that child that came out of Mary's womb, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know the Son of Man? He grew up. He was that child. And in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible says he increased in stature and in wisdom. He came to be just exactly like his Father. Just exactly. Because God was his Father. And I have always revered that. And it's always meant a lot to me. Jesus' life as an overcomer. That's on this last page here. Is the way into the final heavenly city. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's what he was talking about. Now, we're on a journey. I've talked a lot about that. How you walk that journey in response to his Spirit will determine how much of the inheritance you receive as a reward. I don't know how much I'm going to get. But I know the moment I got saved, it was reserved for me in heaven. And I know I didn't claim it. And I know I was 38 years old before I got serious. And I know I'm sitting here as your pastor. And I'm trying to claim as much as I can by learning how what Jesus said for me to do and teaching me how to pastor and learning what to do in every situation. You don't master that in this life. Jesus is the only man who ever did. And they crucified him for it. Now this is Acts 2, 19 through 21. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. I've been teaching you now forever that we were in the seals. We were in the seals long before I came to this church. And when we got to that fifth seal, I just stopped and I said, okay, it's here. Because I knew it was here. And I told you it was here, and I told you all those people over there being killed, all that bloodshed was under the fifth seal. And I told you when that sixth seal went off, that all Hades was going to break loose. And I told you that the verses down through the sixth seal, Revelation 6, the sixth seal, from there down to the end of it in verse 17, I told you that is a preview of the entire tribulation period, except the vials of wrath. Because I taught you that the wrath at the end of in verse 17 in Revelation 6 was a different kind of wrath from the wrath that's mentioned in the six vials of wrath. And it goes all the way through to the seventh trumpet. And you're going to be here. And it shall come to pass in that day that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, I'm telling you. You're going to be here till the seventh trump. You can be saved any time from now to then. You want to take advantage of God? I used to take advantage of my mother all the time. Did you ever take advantage of other people? I have. You want to take advantage of Jesus? He's told you. You got time. Or have you? Or have you? One of you may die tonight. Two of you may die. I may be the one that dies. I'm the most likely at my age. How much time you got? I don't think the rapture is going to occur until, not the rapture, but the battle. You can even wait till the battle. I don't believe the battle is going to start until the end of the next administration. You say, well, that's just your opinion. You're right. You're right. It may occur before that. I could be wrong. I've put all those scriptures together and they fit like a bug in a rug. Now, what are you going to do with this? You going to wait till it all starts to make sure that we've got the right timing? God never meant for us to do that. And so that's why you can't tell the day, the week, the month, or the year. You say, well, how much time have I got? Don't worry about how much time you got. You know what it means when the Bible said to walk circumspectly? It says you better walk around this and look at it. It's time to walk around and look at it. Because it's finally here, and it's hard to believe because we've been told by so many people that he was coming at such and such a time and he didn't. I'm not telling you the day, the week, the month, the year. I'm just telling you it's here now. You say, well, what can I do? You can be faithful. You can be faithful. You can do it. Notice Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That ain't the rapture. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Well, I'll be. You know, that's the very end of the tribulation period, isn't it? Now check this out. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. That ain't the seventh trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Now, look at what he says next. I mean, just look at it. From one end of heaven to the other. That's the gathering of the saints. He's already judged in heaven, and they're right behind him as he come down to the very end. I mean, look at it. There's only one way to interpret that. It's from one end of heaven to the other. He didn't say from one end of the earth to the other. This is when he gathers. We're already judged. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, look at what all happens. Boom, 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 boom. The whole history of the tribulation period. And then what happens? He comes back with the saints. And where does he gather them before he brings them back? One end of heaven to the other. That's when he comes back with us. You ever noticed that before? You know, that's why it takes a long time to start really getting this stuff together. And then you have to argue and fight about it. And I get so tired of that. But I'm an old man now. I got a picture of old Grandpa Drennan. I call him Major Drennan, sitting on a porch with his dog out there. And he's bald-headed, beard and everything. He was a major in the Confederate Army. He don't look like anything bothers him much. He was a child of God. And I've got pictures of my others in the McElmurray family, and they look like they're outlaws. But thank God he lets outlaws go to heaven too. So anyway, I let you out on time. Well, I appreciate it. Robert, would you dismiss him?